Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, welcome once again to Free on the Inside. I'm your host, Minister Joy Lewis, and you listen to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you can be for God and for the community. This morning, we have a very special guest that's going to be on the line this morning. Our guest is no stranger to the Dallas-Fort Worth area here, amen. She's a native of Dallas-Fort Worth. And this morning, we have Barbara Melody Calloway. She served on the Dallas City Council and represent District 6 for 8 years from 1993 to 2001 until her time had expired and forced her to retire. She is also a former Democrat precinct chairperson. She was elected to the Texas House of Representatives on November the 7th, 2006. In November 2008, she was reelected to a second term, and then at for House District 110, including the Dallas area, the Cedar Hill, the Southern East Oak Cliff area, including the Cedar Hill addition, and also part of Pleasant Grove, and the Cedarville city limits. Also, Ms. Caraway have been on the Public Safety Committee and the Urban League Committee. This morning, I'd like to introduce you to Ms. Calloway. Also, we will have our co-host to be on the line, Carol Reed, here. Amen. You two can join this great conversation and ask questions to Ms. Calloway. That number will be 310-982-4126. Now, this morning, the next voice you'll hear will be Ms. Reed. Amen. So, God bless you. Welcome our guests to the program.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Good morning. Good morning, Ms. Reed. Welcome to our program. Well, Ms. Calloway is going to be on the line here in just a few minutes. So please introduce yourself so our guests can get an opportunity to know who our co-host is this morning.
Hi, good morning. I'm just Carol Reed. I'm just American, normal Dallas site, native Dallas Texan, citizen of the of this area, DFW. I'm a current resident of Plano, but I'm an avid community volunteer and work closely with the Texas Justice Department of Criminal Justice System with volunteers at our halfway house at Stroke House in Dallas, Texas, where we help youth that are incarcerated. So I serve closely and work and still volunteer closely with my alma mater for the Methodist University, and I am a proud civil rights pilgrim.
All right, great. That's a lot of information that you gave us this one. So we thank God for what you've been doing here. And as we get ready to log on with our guest this morning here, we want to give out that contact number once again. That number is 310-982-4126. Hey, and so you two can join in the conversation. And this morning here, we have our guest on the line this morning here. And as she get ready to come in, we want to just say hello to her and ask us. Good morning, Ms. Calloway. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I want to make sure that you all can hear. Oh, it went away. Can you hear me okay? Because there was some static in the line,
yes.
So I wanted to make.
Yes,
okay.
I can hear you. Okay.
Well, good morning, Reverend Lewis, and good morning to Ms. Carol Reed. It's exciting to be on the show with an up-and-coming leader and a community organizer, community-dedicated person. I'm very pleased to be with you this morning.
We're happy to have you aboard here. We're going to allow Carol Reed to conduct the interview, but tell us about what the campaign is coming up here. And get us
Yes. I'm running for Congress, U.S. Congress, in a Democratic primary, and that is in March of 2018. That's March the 6th, 2018. That may seem like it's a long ways away, but it's not. It's right around the corner. You need to be registered 30 days before the election, so that would be in February the 6th in order to vote in the Democratic primary on March the 6th, 2018. And I'm asking for your support to go to Washington to be the voice of a constituent, to be someone that you can depend on, someone who has the experience, the dedication, the willingness. And right now, you really need a lot of energy and tenacity with what's going on up there with Trump. Donald Trump is upending and turning everything around. You got to be able to stick up and stay up with him. And I'm the person for the job. And I say enough is enough of all of this that's going on in our community and particularly in our district. So I'm running for Congress in the Democratic primary on March the 6th, 2018.
All right.
That is
all right.
Awesome.
Go ahead here.
Good morning, morning, Representative Carey. I'm honored to be here on the in the line talking with you this morning. I just want to say thank you to you and your husband, Mr. Carey, for the dedicated and long-term services that you have provided to our Dallas, you know, my hometown. And so it's exciting to be on here with this morning. And more than that, it's exciting that we have you as our one of our sheroes that is running for Democratic Congress. I mean, that's the whole thing we were talking about, how now women are really beginning to play an important role in running for office, and the fact that you're running for Congress for our Democratic Party is exciting news, and I'm happy that you're taking that charge.
Well, thank you. Actually, we have a lot of challenges in our district, and I wouldn't call the person's name that I'm running for against, but I think that people need to know that I'm running against Eddie Bernice Johnson. She has been there mm-hmm. for almost 26 years in Congress mm-hmm. alone, and in their mm-hmm. time, our district has seen some downturns. We are now the second highest poverty district in the nation. We are looking at our education system that's really been turned around. We are looking at unemployment in our district. We are looking at particularly with mass incarceration that affects the poverty area mm-hmm. in our district, because so many families, women now are going to prison in large numbers than ever before, and men, and when they come back, they can't get jobs, they can't get housing, and they're unable to take care of their families. And so that is one of the big issues that I'm really wanting to work on, criminal justice reform, as well as supporting single mothers and fathers, whether you've come out of prison or not. They are really suffering because of the wage gap. And so we have a lot of issues that have been neglected by Washington. Our mm-hmm. veterans don't get the care and the need that they need when they come back from war and protecting our country. And so I'm putting myself out there on the line to go to Washington to be the voice of the constituents and to work hard on their behalf.
That is awesome. I mean, everything that you named is so important in our community. So one of the things I want to ask you, I know you serve on the Public Safety Committee and for the urban offices. And so how does that, what is your take on the whole Black Lives Matter?
I was on the public safety. That was during my tenure in the Texas House of Representatives. And just like then, now, guns are a big issue, and we uh-huh. have to get control. I'm sorry? It's a little static on my end, so if I speak over you a little bit, I apologize, but there is static on my end, so I'm trying to hear you as clearly as I can. But public safety, and particularly now when there is tension between law enforcement and the community, we have to work to make sure that there is a better communication, a better relationship, because the community doesn't feel, in most cases, that law enforcement is on their side. And so that's part of public safety. President Obama released the opportunity for a lot of communities to receive these war type of equipment. If you remember it down there in Missouri, where the people, they brought in all these tanks when they had that riot. And so we have to look at how we police these days and how the community and the police force can join together. And guns have always, even in the Texas House of Representatives, that was one of the big issues. The gun lobby owns these legislatures. I didn't support gun legislation. I don't now. But public safety really is on many levels. You have young people who are committing more crime. When I say young people, I'm talking about 10 to 14 and 15 years old. So we have to look at the family structure and see how the family is impacting the increase in crime. But it really goes back to poverty, education, and unemployment as to why we're seeing this upend in all of the increase in these critical factors that affect our community.
Totally agree with you there. And that is, I'm glad that you mentioned that. And Ms. Carey, I got to tell you, too, I'm having a little static here on my end, so I'll just throw a question out there, and I'll just let you go so that people can hear what you have, that your platform is one of the things.
Well, can you hear me okay? Do you want me to call?
Yes,
okay. And then the other thing, too, I don't want to dismiss the fact that young people as yourself who are really struggling, I know that you are in college or you graduated from college, but a lot of young people are having problems paying for even tuition and books. And so I do support Bernie Sanders. I know people a lot say that he's a socialist and he wants to spend all our money. We live in a capitalistic society, a free market society, and I can appreciate that. I respect that. But and I also have to work within those confines, but also believe that we have to support those less fortunate and supporting community colleges who will allow young people to pursue a higher education. That is certainly a goal of mine as well.
Awesome. That's absolutely awesome. I had a question that I wanted to ask you. How would you, in lieu of the fact that we are now living in a country that's been very divided by our current leadership, so with regards to division, how would you address that issue going at, if you go to Congress? I mean, because it's pretty divided. It's very hard, it seems, and difficult these days to get both sides of the aisle together. So what would be your approach in bringing some unity to this thing?
My approach is, number one, to always make sure there's community engagement. So many people believe that their voice doesn't matter anymore, that their vote doesn't matter. And when I'm on the campaign trail, I have people, and I'm sure you graduating from college, you're probably 23, 24, and people who are 18 years old, even older adults said, oh, I don't do that. I don't vote. It doesn't matter. My vote doesn't matter. And we are divided. But the way to start to chip away at that, we've always been divided. You know, there was the division with the British and the colonies because they did not want to be ruled by the British. And then you had the Civil War, which certainly divided our country over free labor, slavery. And so that is where we are still feeling some of those repercussions where people believe that they are being taken advantage of. And I don't mean the less trodden. There's the believing that someone else is benefiting at my behest because I can't get forward. So if we can bridge that gap of employment, wages, education, then I don't believe that we would be as divided. And so what I would do is to introduce legislation and support legislation that would close the gap on education, close the gap in making on wages, making sure that we all have a bite at the apple. And that is what this all is about. Constitutional rights. What does the Constitution allow me? What does it say that I'm entitled to? And it clearly says that you are entitled to those inalienable rights with the life, with the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so I would work, more importantly, though, I would engage my district, District 30, which includes Cedar Hill, Duncanville, DeSoto, Glen Heights, Lancaster, Wilmer Hutchins. It pushes in south to Oak Cliff, Dallas, South Dallas, downtown, Pleasant Grove, Glen, and it goes into the Stemmons Business Corridor, but into what they call North Park or Elm Thicket, depends on which district you, which generation you're in. But to tell the people that you have to help. Yes, I am your representative. I am your representative, but I need you to help me. I need you to say, I support Barbara Mallory Caraway. She is my voice. Because currently, unfortunately, our current representative doesn't show up. She doesn't hold town hall meetings. She doesn't, where people can ask her questions face to face. She's not engaged in the community, and that is why so many people feel disaffected by government, by elected officials, because only a certain percentage. We have more, almost 500,000 registered voters in our district, and less than 10% of those actually vote in the primary. Now, what's coming up in 2018 is what's called a midterm election, which means that there is no presidential candidate on the ballot, which means that the last go-around when there was a contentious primary between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, you had more people come out. But they dropped down. Even when Barack Obama ran for re-election in 2012, it went back down to almost 8% of the voters. And so when you have less than 10% of the people engaging in voting, then that means that they're feeling disaffected, that government doesn't represent them, and that's what I want to change. But in addition to that, because I know you've given me some time, a limited time, I want to encourage your listeners to, on November the 7th, on November the 7th, there is also a constitutional amendment election right here in the area and across the state. On that ballot, you're going to have the question about whether or not Dallas County Schools should be an operation that continues to provide buses for school districts across the county. I say yes to that. You're going to have the opportunity to vote for constitutional amendments that does everything from allowing credit unions to be go to a different to hold ticket giveaways. There are 10 bond issues on the city of Dallas, bond that you are asked to consider. Glenn Heights is having an election. Sassy, all across the state, there are issues that affect you locally. So go to DallasCountyVotes.org and make sure that you review. You can put your address in there, and you don't have to wait until you get to the polls to see what's on the ballot. There is not a whole lot of publicity going on right now, and that's the other thing. Money controls these elections. If you don't have the money, you have to make up for it. I'm Barbara Maurer Caraway. I'm running for Congress in 2018. So go to my website at Barbara. That's B-A-R-B-A-R-A, Mallory, M-A-L-L-O-R-Y, Caraway, C-A-R-A-W-A-Y, for, spell it out, F-O-R, Congress.org, Barbara Mallory Caraway for Congress.org. I am asking 30,000 voters to help me get to Washington. That, I mean, that's all it takes, one vote at a time. I need 30,000 people to go to my website and sign up so that I can go to Congress. But voting is very important. I know I'm, and thank you for letting me talk. I'm not giving you a big chance to ask the question, but this is important to say. Okay, good. Because there have been so many voter suppression laws requesting voter ID and how you're supposed to vote and then going into communities when voter intimidation, voter. But don't let that deter you because people literally died for the right to vote. So we can't be so afraid to speak out and to say that the voices, your voice counts. And that's what Barbara Mallory Caraway stands for. It's the people's choice, the people's voice. You know, I don't have contracts with the city of Dallas. I don't have contracts with the county where it will stifle my voice because I'm going to vote my pocketbook. A lot of our elected officials do. I don't. Ms. Johnson has contracts with the city of Dallas Airport, and she's on the transportation committee in Washington. So who are you going to vote for, really? Whose interest are you looking after? And that is what's important. The interest of the people is what's important. And I'm not against anybody making money now, but I want that when you make a pledge and stand there and take the oath for the people, that's the interest that I want you to support. That's what I want you to do.
That is so that's wonderful to hear, and you're so right about that, especially with the culture of our current White House leadership, where it's all about the money, it seems, with certain people in office there. You know, we definitely could use a change of scenery in that respect. And so what can you quickly address when people, and I know the vote is important, you're right, and I'm a lot older than you think. when people hear, you know how the word that has been perpetuated, the fake word, all over the media, such propaganda has covered our nation with the idea of fake this and fake that. And now people tend to, and now we talk about the interference of the Russians into our government. So in that regard, some people may seem like, yeah, my vote might count, but will it be altered by intervention between outside sources like Russian intervention or gerrymandering or things of that nature that we feel like are happening around this country?
Well, it's brilliant that you brought up gerrymandering because there is a case before the Supreme Court right now because since 2012, every 10 years, we go through reapportionment or redistricting, and that's based on the census count. So since 2012, we have really been running under illegal lines. The Fifth Circuit down in San Antonio just ruled after all these years that the congressional lines and the state lines by which we're running were drawn for you can do it by party or political reasons, but they were supposed to redraw the lines, the legislature go back and correct some of those lines, at least two districts, which means that would have affected all the districts. But Abbott, Governor Abbott, Ken Paxton, the Attorney General, appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. And Alito, U.S. Supreme Justice Alito, stayed the case. They're reviewing that now. Now, there is a consensus that we will still run under those current lines. But one of the reasons that particularly voters feel disenfranchised is because of gerrymandering. And it's not just because of the Republicans. Democrats do it, too, because they want to protect themselves, not the constituents. So they get in there and draw these lines and cut deals to say, okay, you do this, I'm going to do this. So gerrymandering, it does disenfranchise, because no matter how many times you vote, the way the districts are packed and stacked and drawn, gerrymandered to reflect a particular individual or party, that your vote doesn't count. But it doesn't matter. This is what I say. When I say it doesn't matter about voting, you still should vote. That's just in those elections, because keep in mind, this time around also you have on November the 7th those other issues that I talked about. Every year, whoever your favorite team is, whether it's baseball, football, hockey, sports, every year those teams appear on the field, and they may not win the prior season, but you're still cheering for them. They may not win, so there is a disadvantage because of gerrymandering, and we have to rectify that. Former President Barack Obama and former Attorney General Holder, they have a commission that they're looking at gerrymandering. But people still need to vote, and people need to force change. You talked about the division. African Americans vote in fewer numbers than we ever have because they feel that their vote doesn't count. But you have to be involved. You must be involved. And young people, the millennials, they can make a difference. They can make a change, and they need to do that. So you just don't – and all this fake news, my degree from Texas Southern University is in radio and television broadcasting and theater with a double major. But let me tell you, it is – they can influence the way all of these media – it depends on whether you like, cable news, local news, commentary – but you have to be able to read for yourself and keep up and be more engaged to filter all of this out. I measure what I watch, because I don't want to hear all the comments and commentaries of people that I certainly don't agree with, but I do listen to them because I want to know what they think. And it's all a diversion. Ms. Reed, it is all a diversion to do exactly what we're talking about, to continue to disenfranchise, to discourage, and they will take control because their voters are not going to be they're not going to go fall for the okey-doke. They understand what's going on. So that's what we need to do. Don't be dissuaded. Don't be discouraged. Stay in it for the fight. Stay in. Enough is enough. Enough is enough of us saying that our vote doesn't count. Enough is enough of calling fake news. I was listening to the news this morning. They've already issued the indictments regarding how Russia infiltrated our election, and they did it with fake news through Twitter, through Facebook. They lied. It's not even fake news. It's lies, and people need to call it what it is. They're lies. It's not fake. They're told lies, and so if you fall for that, and you don't stand up for your rights, you're always going to be taken advantage of. But guess what? There's a leadership board, because who's saying it? Who's talking about it? And then the media outlets for who we listen to, they're too intimidated. Some of them, not all of them, are too intimidated. So you just can't. You have to learn to discern. There is a power. Reverend Lewis knows this. There is a power of discernment, that you have to be able to discern what is right, what is wrong, and pray for the guidance to be able to do the right thing. As Spike Lee said, do the right thing. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. But I can't blame all of it on fake news. We all have to take some responsibility of it. So enough is enough of us wanting to keep people in the dark to benefit us personally. Enough is enough of our teachers. And our kids, teachers today, they're under so much pressure trying to keep their jobs because of all this testing. They can't even teach. So I know I'm on a bandwagon this morning, Ms. Reed, but enough is enough is enough is enough is enough. That's what
oh,
I say.
God, I was on that bandwagon with you. I was riding.
This is a great interview. I want to thank you, ladies. This is a great interview. Now, if you want to chime in on the conversation,
wait, Lewis, before Ms. Give Ms.
Reed my phone number because
I want to talk to her. Give her my personal cell phone number so she can call me.
I sure will. But first, we got some information.
I know you
got to
go.
Enough is enough, Ms. Carraway.
Goodbye.
No, Ms. Carraway, don't leave yet. We got a couple questions we want to ask you. We got some people that text me and email me and Instagram me, and they want to address some things that's concerning them, and maybe you could address those things as you make your way to Washington, D.C., as Texas State Representative for District 30. Amen. I have a Harold, a veteran out of Siegelville that says sometimes he feel like his needs not met, not being addressed. What can you do to let Harold know that his vote counts concerning veterans?
Well, his vote counts because he will have access with me. The Veterans Resource Center is on Ledbetter and Ken Watterson. I work very closely with him. There has been an issue about when they go, it's hard to sign up, and, you know, there was a big controversy, but we need to have more meetings and get the input of the veterans. I will be there for them. I know that there is some tension between administration and the staffing of all these hospitals, and it has to do with benefits, disability benefits, how they have to meet such a high bar. There's such a high bar even to get the disability benefits. So what I'm going to do is introduce legislation and work on the local level. It doesn't always have to be about the legislation. It's about working with the entities to make sure that you can move in a direction that benefits the veterans.
Oh, that's great. You see that, Harold? Got somebody working on your behalf. We have another call here from Mary. Talks about the homeless population here. It seems like the homeless population is just growing and growing. What can you do to address those at the local level and then to the state and in the U.S. Congress?
Well, what I would do is work to get more resources. Homelessness is a very complex issue. It is not the fact that you just have people sleeping under the bridge because, you know, they just want to be there. You have mental health issues. If you remember in the Reagan administration, I'm sure that Ms. Reed may not know that, but she can research it, they went and shut down a lot of the mental institutions, didn't want to fund them, similar to what Trump is trying to do to dismantle our government, took away money, took away resources. In addition to that, you literally do have people who are unemployed. We don't, and housing. See, housing is so expensive until some people can't afford housing. You have people who are, you know, drug addicted and need help, and that's costly. So it's really a comprehensive issue. Now, this issue has been going on. Now, they were under the bridge not too far from where I live at MLK and 45, but they used to be over off of I-30. And when they're going on that curve, and Laura Miller had them moved out. So they just moved from one area to the other. You have shelters that will say, well, you have to be in at a certain time, you have to be out at a certain time. But let me tell you what's even more alarming for me, because these are adults, and they have children. We have an increasing number of homeless children. Now, and when I was on the city council, and now I do know they even appointed a homeless czar to try to deal with this issue. So it's a very complex issue, but I would really advocate. In City Square, I know City Square opened up a complex. They have maybe 40 or 50 homeless people where they're experimenting, trying to get them help. Joblessness. Just because you're homeless doesn't mean that you're shiftless, as they used to say about black people, shiftless and lazy, but it means that you have been displaced through the workforce and you need some training. So it's a very complex issue. Now, let me be honest about it. The truth of the matter is there are some people who've given up on it, on life itself, and some people don't. It was the experience that we found that they didn't want to follow the rules in the shelters. They weren't looking for jobs. Before they closed down that homeless encampment, people had set up businesses down there selling anything and everything that you wanted. The police, so what happens as a final resort is law enforcement. The authorities have to step in to disperse them. And a friend of mine just told me that a lot of them have been dispersed. They have dispersed into downtown Dallas, which is now a problem, you know, even more so. So it is a very complex issue. And what Barbara Mallory Caraway would do, I will continue to work with the local authorities, but get funding to address the homelessness. The children are, and quite frankly, now the children are my biggest concern because they're young. They don't have a place. They're trying to go to school, and I read in the paper the DISD is sure they're going to get a building to try to home homeless children. So I know the adults have problems, but now we've got to focus on these kids and their families because they are victims of circumstances. So I will. One thing that I think that our congressperson doesn't do well enough is we never meet to say, how can we on the state level, on the federal level, on a local level, work together to pool the resources to get the biggest bang for our dollars? And that's where the leadership of Barbara Mallory Caraway will come in.
That is awesome. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ms. Caraway. We realize that you are busy, but our phone line is lighting up, and we have a lot of questions to ask. But we want to invite you to come back. We want to ask you to come back.
I'd love to come back, and I also want to invite your listening audience. I'll be at the Martin Luther King Jr. Center today from 11 until 5 at Harambe Festival. So you all are listening out there, and I know that your show goes all over the country. And here's the deal. If you'd like to donate, campaigns cost money. Go to Barbara Mallory Caraway for Congress.org. That's Caraway, Barbara Mallory Caraway for Congress.org. We need to get a rhyme. We need to get a rap. Barbara Mallory Caraway for Congress.org. You'll find out where I stand on the issues to make a contribution. I don't care if it's $1, $5, $3. Contribute for the future. And I'm Barbara Mallory Caraway. I'm asking for your vote, your support, your money, and your prayers.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. We're looking forward to seeing you and also being involved in what you're doing here. We just have an open forum here, so we thank you for coming out, you know, lending your voice to our program to get the community engaged and let us know that our vote and our voice do make a difference. Amen. So thank you very much. We get ready to wrap up. Now, Carol, do you have anything else you'd like to say to Ms. Caraway before we release her from this
setting? Thank you so much. Yes, thank you so much for this morning. It was wonderful and enlightening, and it was a breath of fresh air. And I think sometimes that's what we need in some of our offices, in some of our positions in our office, and those who represent us in the state of Texas. So it was wonderful to hear you this morning and have an opportunity to hear your platform and hear all the things that you speak for, and they are great. And yes, I got to call you, girl, because we have to talk, and I even have somebody that may put a rap together for you. So
come on. All right. And I look forward to meeting you. I've met Reverend Lewis, but I look forward to meeting you as well.
Yes, that would be wonderful. Thank you so much again for the opportunity.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless you. Enjoy your day.
You
amen.
Bye-bye.
All right. God bless you. Thank you. Oh, yes, this is a great, powerful, impactful, informative interview that with Ms. Barbara Mallory Caraway. She's running for U.S. Congressperson, representing the great state of Texas, amen, in District 30, amen. So we want to encourage you to follow her progress, encourage you to vote, that your voice and your vote makes a difference. Our interview was conducted by Ms. Carol Reed. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you for having me, Brother Lewis. I appreciate it so much. And again, thanks to all the listeners who tuned in. And I'm pretty sure I'm more than blessed by listening to Mrs. Caraway this morning, because it was a very wonderful interview and a very enlightening and very needed at this time.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And Carol, I want to thank you. You have assisted us in other interviews. So thank you. Your voice definitely makes a difference. And you add some balance to the program where they're not just hearing my voice, but hearing someone else's voice. And, you know, as we all band together to make a difference, you know, we know that we can make a difference by supporting our local candidates and letting our voices be heard. Whether you're a Republican or Democrat, your voice and your vote makes a difference.
Yes, well, thank you, Brother Lewis. Again, you're hearing your voice. It got everyone involved, and that's important. So it's good to hear your voice.
All right. Well, great. Enjoy your day. Looking forward to speaking with you again, and thank you very much for what you're doing.
Awesome. Anytime.
All right. Great. We'll just listen to another great episode of Free on the Inside there with Ms. Barbara Mallory Calloway. She was running for U.S. Congress, and we had Carol Reed was helping conduct the interview. And we're going to end this program because we have some other things that we need to do today because these are busy times. And we ask you, even though they're busy times, take time out to be involved in the community. You know what our slogan and our saying is, help change your life. Maybe your vote can help change your life, amen. Maybe what you do could help change your life. Maybe you look around and you see, hey, there's so much going on, but there's other people that have that same heart, that passion that you have. Maybe you could get with them and you can make a difference in homelessness, in jobs, or whatever God lays on your heart to do. Help change a life in Jesus' name. As we get ready to get out of here, I want to be mindful that this is Free on the Inside, weekly end of that program that comes on each and every week that have a concern for the neighborhood and the community. And you, too, can join our show each and every Saturday morning and call that number. I'll give it to you again so you can write it down and be ready next week for another great episode of Free on the Inside. That number is 310-982-4126. And we ask you to enjoy your balance of your day and go out and help someone, help make a difference in the lives of men and women. I'm going to be speaking over at an outreach ministry program today as we are sharing the word of God with men and women. We want to definitely let them know that God can use them and let them know that whatever they're going through, that God is able. Amen. Because homelessness and ex-offenders and those things are very dear to my heart. And if they're dear to my heart, they're dear to God's heart also. So as we get ready to end this program, be mindful. If God started it, he shall finish it. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy your day. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for our guest that was on this morning, dear Lord. We pray, dear Lord, that things were done well, dear Lord. We pray they follow up on fertile ground, dear Lord, that they too, dear Lord, can make a difference in the lives of someone, dear Lord, that they too can say, Lord, what must I do, Lord?
Ladies and gentlemen,
and we realize that we're not in this alone. We all combine together and make a difference in the lives of God's people. Amen.
The problem we're facing right now is we're losing our children. Fathers, we need you. Can you feel me? But there's some dudes that are just like me. Every time you took a picture with you and your family, it was only two people. It was supposed to be three. It was supposed to be me asking.
Why the sky blue? When I grow up, I want to be like you.
Yo, daddy, can you teach me how to
tie my shoes? Can I go with you to work so I can see what you do?
Let me see what you do so I can love my kid too. But you didn't stick around. Was that too much to ask of you? Too much to get a blueprint,
no.
Too much to show the way.
No.
That's the reason why this building is not finished till today.
Lost boy,
I don't really want to believe that.
My daddy's coming back, he didn't forget about me.
Like a child after school, we sit and we wait.
I know that you won't come.
Take the
whole nation.
Take the whole nation. But it's a million of y'all and only one of me. What happened to the village? As far as I can see, it's been burned down by this modern day slavery.
For 11 years I've been living here. I've seen mama cry more than 11 years. Watching mama see daddy while he slips away. Those Jesus are here
again
when they pray.
Mama working two jobs, she can't do it alone. She shouldn't have to. She didn't get knocked up on her own. And I know that baby mama's trauma, brothers is real.